What's up, everybody? Jordan here. Before we get started with this episode, me and Cameron have been telling you guys for a while now that we're going to do some live show stuff, and that's finally happening. We've got three shows that we're going to be doing in April and May, two in New York, one in Baltimore. We've got a show on April 14th at the Brooklyn Comedy Collective. We've got a show April 26th at the Crown in Baltimore, and May 25th at Caveat in New York. So those are our three shows. More information is coming soon, but please be on the lookout for that. Keep that in mind if you live in either New York or Baltimore, and hopefully we'll see some of you guys soon.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of White People Won't Save You. This is a podcast where we deconstruct these white savior films and recontextualize them through a black and POC lens. I'm one of your hosts, Jordan Clark.
And I'm the other one, Cameron Mason.
And we have what we have deemed a White People Won't Save You investigation today, because we have a movie that we watched and we've got questions about, and we've got some guests that I think are going to be able to shed some light for us on this, from a very amazing podcast. If you like the Girl That Scary podcast that came on to Juggle to Juggle with us, I think you will also very much so like this show, which is called Blurdy Massacre, hosted by Zero Gravity and Trey. Welcome. How are you guys doing?
I'm angry. I'm ready to argue. I'm mad. Same. I just opened up the wounds and now I'm ready to get mad about it.
Y'all heard that? The mad rapper's here.
Yeah. Well, before we start, we always love being able to have conversations about horror, specifically when it pertains to people of color, just because we don't really get too many of those films or we don't really get too many chances to talk about it. And I had a question for you guys that I've thought about, and in this time where we're getting a lot of remakes of things and we're getting a lot of second chances of movies that maybe didn't get, you know, the kind of shine or light that they probably should have had, you know, in their original incarnations, what is a specifically like a blaxploitation era horror movie that you think if they remade it today would be the one that you wanted to see?
Because we're talking, me and Sheree about to say the same thing. All right. About to say the same thing right now. Ready, Sheree? On the count of three, we're gonna say it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Abby.
I think Sugar Hill. Oh, okay. I mean, Abby should be remade, but I want to remake Sugar Hill. I'm being selfish. I would like to be hired for that. Everybody's listening. But Abby, yeah.
So wait, just so we have it clear, Abby's the doll, right?
No.
No.
Abby's the exorcist.
Abby's the hoe.
Yeah. Another William Marshall.
It's the sexorcist one.
I'm unfamiliar.
Well. Oh. Warner Brothers shut it down. Were like, you cannot copy The Exorcist. And they were like, okay. So she's always free somewhere, usually YouTube and Tubi. She gets wild.
She does. And it makes people uncomfortable. It is already a very hot topic, the sexualization of Black women's bodies. Certainly. But also there is, you know, this weird kind of underbelly that's like, you know, Black women can handle way much more, like we're, you know, some sort pain of otherworldly beings or something. Mm-hmm, so there's also another level of like fear, like, you know, people are scared of us, and, you know, people get even more scared when, you know, she's a demon, but like, she kind of fine and like, she's doing something to me and I'm going to have to look inward and that makes me uncomfortable. And I'm a big fan of making people uncomfortable in the theater. So like, yeah, let's do it again. Yes. Let's do it again.
Cameron,
I'll read the
synopsis to you. A marriage counselor becomes possessed by a demon of sexuality when her father-in-law, an archaeologist and an exorcist, accidentally frees it while in Africa.
That kind of sounds like that line from Madame Web, my mother was pregnant with me while she was studying spiders in the Amazon. It's like the same vibe.
You also need to picture William Marshall as the priest in Africa who accidentally sends the demon back and has to come and perform the exorcism.
Dear God.
It adds so much to it once you know who he is. Because I was like, is that Blackula? I was in no way ready for this movie.
Oh, here I am. I found it. I found it on Wikipedia.
Cameron,
oh,
you were thinking of Black Devil Doll, which is the one with the doll. Yeah.
I do know of that. Yes, Black Devil Doll. I'm familiar. But I'm not familiar with Abby. Oh, well, her head is on fire.
You got some research.
Yeah, you got to get to know Abby.
Yeah.
Got to get to know her.
Once Danny's done with Back to the Future 3, just be like, hey,
we up late on a Monday, President's Day, baby.
Worth it.
Well, Zira, you said you wanted to do Sugar Hill.
That was me.
Zira wanted to do Abby, and Sherry, you wanted to do Sugar Hill. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's break it down.
Weirdly enough, me and Zero came up with kind of an idea for Sugar Hill way back before we had our own podcast, which why I knew we should have our own podcast if we're plotting movies. we were just like, what if it's not about the man? What if they didn't kill her man? What if they killed like her mother or her sister or her cousin? What if she's just like smacking bitches because of real reasons that have nothing to do with failing the Bechdel test? Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit, P-Valley, but not too P-Valley, if that makes sense. You know, it's like P-Valley before dark. It was a good time. And I would love to flesh that out. And I would love somebody to give us some funding to do it, because that should have been the origin story for a badass bitch in not the Marvel universe, but some universe.
Okay.
Yes. I think that the only reason why I say Abby first is because she really needs some love. She is a great film, definitely stands for a lot and can say a lot about what we're scared of and how that has to form into like Black women's bodies and like societal what's the word I'm looking for, the way that they look at us, you know. But it's not like, you know, it's a product of its time, and like there's some things that like don't really age well, and also like, you know, there wasn't a crazy budget that was put into here. It's just a little loose. So it doesn't hold up as strongly as Sugar Hill does, but I promise you right now, if you watch Sugar Hill like right now, it's still gonna be a great time. Abby, you're gonna be like, I see the vision, but there's some things. Oof. You know,
heard.
All right, Cam, do you have one?
Oh, if I just, you know what? I actually, the one I kind of like a lot is Cotton Comes to Harlem. That one's got like a rompy vibe, you know? There's like the comedy aspect, and Ossie Davis, that dude used to be able to write, like he used to be able to write the hell out of a good genre movie. And I don't know. I just remember. I do remember watching Sugar Hill recently, and it does go. It's a little wacky in the middle somewhere, but yeah, definitely hits.
Right, just a little bit more money. Keeping the suit, like not changing the jumpsuit at all. Like that's iconic. No. That I would wear that today. we want to keep that. We want to keep like the older woman who's like, here's how you access this magic. but I think that with a little bit of today's modern things going on that it still relates to, it could be a fun time.
Yeah.
And I would love to do that someday.
Into it.
I'll be the one that says Blackula. Just because
somebody needed to.
Yes.
We were talking about it before we came on air. Blackula has some problematic elements that I think we could fix.
Yes. You could just not do them for the first 10 minutes of this movie.
I do like Dracula being like full on racist, just because like that seems on brand. Like that seems like he would be that kind of dude. And also like Blackula being like, hold up, what? I'm trying to free my people, and you're like, I don't know about that. Like Blackula, give it like 400 more years, you know what I mean? You're a little asking too much.
Why don't you wait a while on that?
But I think, you know, with all of these movies, a bigger budget could be helpful. But even now, I mean, we look at movies that have like $20 million, and like that's not a huge budget, but they look great, and you can do a lot with that money. And all of these movies, I think, would be ones that would translate to the modern times. Like I think there's ideas and things in each of them that still hold up today, that if you just gave somebody, again, a little bit of money, you know, I think people would want to be in them too. Like I think you could cast
some you could get people, A-listers, like, you know, probably.
Like, could you imagine Coleman Domingo as Blackula? Like, I would see that movie immediately.
Well, I'll see that.
He'd be in all four of these movies, and we wouldn't even ask how he's scheduled it. Just put.
It would be a Blade employed. Situation. It would be a Blade situation. He would just pull up to the studio and be like, I am Blackula. And the studio would be like, you're right. Yeah.
Look, and then we can get Blade versus Blackula, you know, what we've all been waiting for.
Oh my god. So, we work towards it. We create the, you know, the Black Horror cinematic universe, and we just to the top.
No.
You know, Eddie Murphy be salty.
No, it's all connected.
He'd be like, I went to Brooklyn for what?
Production office was my apartment. So sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, We are all gathered here today to talk about a movie that you guys suggested to us, and we're curious about it because we watched it. I will say on record, I had not seen either A Quiet Place or A Quiet Place 2, so I was in for something with both.
My guy did
movies,
the work today,
yeah. But you guys suggested A Quiet Place 2, and we just want to know what is it about this movie that, see, I mean, Zero seemingly has issues that are going to be discussed, but what is it about this particular movie that drew you in?
I mean, we could say it and then just like end the episode.
Okay.
Like it's just, no, don't. I want to stay hanging out with you guys. But these are good movies. These are good movies. And when the first Quiet Place came out, it was different. I saw that joint in the theater. I have never experienced a theater that quiet. When everyone is on the same page, that's kind of like true fear. Like, you know, even the teenagers in the back are just completely, like, you can hear a pin drop. And that's good storytelling, and that's good world building. And, you know, I love a good creature feature. I think the world deserves good creature features, but a lot of them aren't done correctly. A little bit of laziness. But we have a really cool original design monster. We have world building that makes sense. That's not too far from reality to have us not take it seriously. But, you know, just enough to take us out of real life for a second. Also, we have great performances. And also there's the diversity aspect. Like, we don't stop at just Black and brown people, obviously. We need representation for all different types of people and even disabled people. I think it's time for more disabled heroes. So that was a really awesome change. And Millicent Simmons is a very talented young woman. And she'd be acting her little ass off. I'm sorry, I didn't ask if I'm allowed to cuss,
it's
right?
It's fine. Yeah, please do.
Okay. She is a very talented young woman. And I think it's time for that, you know, and I love the way that we get more perspective for deaf people in interesting ways of telling a story with, you know, removing audio completely. It's just a solid idea. It's a solid idea. It's something new. It's something that we haven't seen before. And the sequel was good, too. You know, the sequel was as good as a sequel can be. And it's a damn shame that all it took was one moment to ruin everything. Everything. I know I wrote in my Letterboxd review, like, you know, we were doing so well and we were checking so many boxes. And also, okay, also the kids. The kids are great. You know, whatever they put children in, you know, something of this stature, I'm like, I don't know, because child actors are like, you know, if or you never really know. But even the kids are pulling their weight. And then we go back to, like, I don't know, 2001. Like, why are we going back to 2001? We have taken 16 steps in the right direction with a good script, believable characters, an interesting monster, and then we just go all the way back and then throw this trope in there and then kind of like act like nothing happened. And so you leave the theater. Well, actually, no, I don't think I saw this one. I don't think anyone did, because this landed the penny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kovisha messed up this one.
Disrupted movies, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it made it even worse. It made it even worse, and let me tell you why. So I remember I was in the press junket for Quiet Place Part 2 when it was supposed to come out before the world ended, probably around March of 2020. And I had gone to all the promotional events. I was getting ready for my interviews and shit. The world ended. And then we were in that time, right? Y'all remember, because you guys were all there. We were all stuck in our homes. The world is kind of ending for multiple reasons outside. So most of us were angry inside. If you are a marginalized person in at all, you probably know what I mean when I say we were all sitting inside just fucking angry. But that was also a good thing because it sparked a lot of discussion and a lot of change happened really quickly because we had time to just sit down and talk about it. So that's when I met Sheree on the internet. That's when I met Jazz and Kat, Oh Girl That's Scary. That's where we met our former co-host, Brother Ghoulish. We all found each other online because, hey man, we got shit else to do. And we start having these conversations because, you know, now's the greatest time to just dive back into our movie catalog because we got all the time in the world now. So let's have this discussion, especially since we're all in the same place, virtually at least. And we can have these conversations that we can't just on the regular when I walk outside. So it seemed like we had really gotten somewhere. Our community was starting to really flesh out. We had pinpointed the things that upset us within the horror industry, the horror community. And horror noir had dropped. That was a huge thing. And so we were feeling kind of okay for the future. And then, of course, Quiet Place Part 2 was delayed. So when it finally dropped and this shit happened, which I realize I never said what it is, but I'm going to let Sheree explain it. But then when this shit happened, it was like, what the hell were we just talking about for 6 months, like every single day at all hours of the day? Did we just totally forget? And, you know, not even at that, it was in true 2001 style. Like, this is all the way backwards. Sheree, take it away.
Yes, so I too enjoyed the first movie and I looked through all of the issues because it was Krasinski's first movie and it's a nice horror movie. So I was like, yeah, he's getting a sequel. I'll see some black and brown people, right? And he was like, ha, 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 ha. and he was like, how many traps can I put on this island? Also, instead of making it scary to be loud, make it scary to be black or brown. Like the people up top, the way we are cleared, it's like, I think it was X-Men Apocalypse. It's been a minute since I've watched those movies. But like, if you watch one of those X-Men, I think it is Apocalypse. The opening bit is just them clearing like all the black and brown people. And I'm just like, yeah, really? Mm-hmm. You walked through all of us? You couldn't spare not a one? Like, no. And I was like, okay, this is my fault for showing up. But it had that energy. And so we get back to the present day in that shit. And we are just like, okay, so we're going to meet a person, but again, that person must also be a white man. and this family blows up his shit. And then we get around to Man on Island. Mr. Hunsu is a real actor, y'all. It's not like, oh, this is my friend from the bar. He's like a legitimate actor and we're wasting his time the way Annabelle wasted Alfred Woodard. And so when you snatch him up just for shits and giggles, it looks real shaky. And because I am a Gemini and I was not ready to be that angry after the movie was over while the credits were rolling, I got on Twitter and unfollowed Krasinski as if he knew who I was personally. I was like, you and your movies, never again. And then the new one rolled around and they were like, new writer, director, also Lupita gonna be there. I'm like, damn it, I'm back in. But they're don't
like,
waste her.
They're like, come on guys, please.
he was like, Black Twitter and Flickr had spelled my name and they are mad at me. I can't do this anymore. Who wants my franchise? And I was like, it's for the best because I'll find you.
Well, so for people who aren't aware or haven't seen any of the Quiet Place movies, they are a horror franchise in which aliens have landed on Earth seemingly via a comet. I am still a bit shaky on some of the details. I don't know if that's purposeful or if that they are just like, y'all figure it out. But aliens landed. They have hypersensitive hearing, meaning that any noise, any slight, you know, disruption, they can hear it and immediately like shit's going down, killing anybody that's making sound. So everybody's learned to be quiet, to be silent. This particular family has learned how to not just, well, because their daughter is deaf. And so everybody in the family knows how to sign, which is one of the things that has kind of saved them because they've still been able to communicate. And so the first movie, they're living on a farm, kind of isolated from a bunch of people, and a bunch of shit goes down. Emily Blunt has a baby. You know, like, there's a lot of close calls. John Krasinski is killed. And the very final shot of the movie is he screams at the aliens and they come and dismember him. And the sequel picks up directly after that, you know, so they're leaving their farm with their new baby, trying to find, you know, some kind of safety in the world. Cam, I know you've got the 5 minutes lined up for us, so.
Yeah, I do.
When you're ready, tell us what happens in A Quiet Place 2.
All right, so I only wrote down half of this, so we're gonna go by the seat of our pants
I'll help you fill it in.
Finale. But we begin A Quiet Place Part 2 before A Quiet Place Part 1 starts at a neighborhood Little League game in the town of Millbrook, New York. So we're catching up with the same family from the first movie, the Abbotts. That's husband Lee has not died yet. John Krasinski has not died yet. We got wife and mother Evelyn, played by Emily Blunt, and their deaf daughter Reagan, and their two sons Marcus and toddler Bo.
And to be clear, in the first movie, they did not name any of these people. So I was just like, who? They got names, right? No? Okay.
This is all Wikipedia information.
Which might be
needed to know, because I would have been like, daughter or what? From Bird Box, I'd be like, boy, girl, older man.
This might be where Man on Island came from, because they're like, oh shit, we forgot to name these people.
Put it out.
Man on Island, I guess.
Okay, so it's day zero. We're at like a little league game, and we got young Marcus. He's up to bat. Strike one, strike two. Aliens. Uh-oh, there's a comet.
And can aliens. You forgot the Oppenheimers in the crowd watching.
Oh, yes. Son. We cannot forget a young J. Robert Oppenheimer is in the crowd. Emmett, by the way, he also has a name. Mm. And he's in the crowd. They have one exchange where he's asking, how do you say dive in sign language? Because he should probably dive.
Remember that, though.
His son should probably dive in the game, and maybe he should have to dive later. We'll find out. So they look up in the sky, comet, aliens, And basically, we kind of like watch the initial attack in this town. So they evacuate, you know. Sorry, I'm losing names already. Lee and his daughter Reagan, they decide to split off from the rest of the family, and they
typical.
His car is on the main street of town, so they're kind of walking back to their car, and you know, Reagan gets in the car and nope, they already hear the aliens is here. Black cop, black cop's gone. Oh, gone. Wait, Latina couple in the bar forgot to turn their phone on silent. Bam, they're gone. We really do be clearing them out. They really did clear them out first scene in the movie. It didn't take long. So all the black and brown people are gone in Millbrook, and the family is left. They managed to escape by the seat of their pants. And then we flash forward to the end of A Quiet Place 1, pretty much, where the family is like, we gotta go. The farm is in shambles. Their barn is burning down. They gotta go.
I will say that I did forget to mention at the end of A Quiet Place 1, Reagan realizes that her hearing aid can disrupt the aliens and kind of stop them, allowing for people to get some shots off and kill them.
Yes, she got a cochlear implant. She can like put it next to a radio that she carries and create like a feedback noise that like, you know, kills off these aliens. Good to remember that from the first movie.
Yeah.
They don't tease any of that in the second movie. They're just like, you know everything that you saw, right? Okay, so now knowing all of that, A Quiet Place 2 kind of starts off. They're in the suburbs of Millbrook, you know, the Adirondack Valleys, upstate New York area. And they're kind of, you know, trying to get from place to place, you know, making no sound whatsoever. And they see off in the distance that there's a gated off old steel foundry. And they're like, oh, yeah, we gotta head out from there. We got to go off from there. So they basically make a break for it. And in the case of making a break for it, the young son, not Emmett, what's the son's name? Oh, my God. Terrible already. Marcus, flam, right into a bear trap.
Yep.
Terrible for a young kid, for like any person, but like definitely for a 12-year-old, he screams like I've never heard screams before. Like his scream was crazy. And of course, that scream attracts the alien. He's like, oh yeah, I heard people. Where they at? He's galloping. He's trying to find them. And at the last moment, he's taken out by a mysterious assailant with a sniper rifle who's off to the side. He takes him. He like puts this kid over his shoulder. The rest of the family is running. He's like, I got a place in the steel foundry. Let's go. Let's go. They gun it. They get inside. They manage to stake out in this little soundproof hideout that he's kind of created in this steel foundry. All right. So turns out their rescuer happens to be our boy Emmett from the Little League game. But Emmett's not so friendly no more. He's like, oh, man, y'all can't stay here. I ain't got no food. Yeah. It's not looking good for y'all. I think you got to go. I'm sad to tell you. He's crying when he's saying it. I'm sad to tell you. But, you know, Evelyn is like, hold on. I gave birth a while ago. Uh-oh, we got problems. It shows in a box with the baby in it and the oxygen tank. And Emmett's like, God damn it. All right, you can stay. You can stay, but you don't make any noise. So while they're busy being quiet, you know, Emmett's got these headphones on. I didn't want to understand what that meant. Correct me later, but it looks like
he might be listening for, like, his dad was listening for signals in the first movie.
Oh, was that what it was? Because he was like in shock of pain, and I assumed he was just like listening to white noise to quiet the screams.
He was listening to the best of Hall & Oates.
Really, yep, exactly. What else would soothe the savage beast?
He's got to be listening to best of Luther Vandross.
I'm about to say that blue-eyed soul.
Little Bobby Caldwell, yeah.
He's listening to that Bobby Caldwell. That Michael McDonald, you know. The dulcet tones are soothing him. And, you know, while he's listening to, I guess, the radio signal, they come across a radio signal. They come across a song that's being played. It turns out that somebody is playing the Bobby Darin song, Beyond the Sea, on a loop. And Reagan gets really excited. She's like, oh, my God, it's a song. Somebody's at the radio station. We got to go find the radio station. And it's like, ah, get out of here with that crap. I've been here for years. I've been here. Well, not years, but like, you know, a while. And I've been listening to the radio just like you. And that's a song that's been playing on loop, more of a beacon or a signal than anything. Reagan's like, man, all right, fine. But, you know, I ain't going to stop thinking about it. And she doesn't stop thinking about it. She keeps thinking on it. And she's like, you know, telling her brother, maybe this is a signal. Maybe there's somebody is beyond the sea. Maybe look at this map that I happen to be carrying. You know, there's this island that I happen to see at this very same time. Maybe beyond the sea means this island and we should go to this island.
Maybe there's a man on the island.
Maybe there's a man on island and we should see men on island. So Reagan's like, you know what? Fuck it. Emmett don't want me to travel out, figure out this for myself. So I'm going to go out there by myself. I'm going to get all the tools and the trade. I'm going to stick them on my backpack. I'm going to go out there and endanger my family pretty much. Is that exactly what she does? She goes out there. She's, you know, searching out a Long Island Railroad train. She's like, what's going on out here? It turns out, of course, there's an alien out there. There's an alien out there. And you know what? At the last minute, she's in deep trouble. But guess what? Our boy Emmett was there. Our boy Emmett was there to be the protector. He left the family alone to go make sure that Reagan was all right. And he did just that. Snipes.
Well, Emily Blunt's basically like, you know, my husband would do that. So what you gonna do?
A little bit of that. There was a little bit of Evelyn being like, my husband was a great man. And
she got on my nerves in this movie. I'll unpack that. But her attitude, big fear and energy for somebody who had a baby in an apocalypse.
Have you seen my baby? We have to take care of my baby. Yes. Big take care of my baby energy.
She made choices. It's your problem. That's how I feel. Yeah.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Big Jonathan Majors energy. She was like, I had a Coretta.
You got to fill that spot. You got to be my Martin Emmett. Kelly Murphy's like, all right, I'll go do that. You know, so he goes and kills an alien. That's going to go kill little our young girl Reagan out there. And now they're basically on the trail together. You know, they're too far from home. And Reagan's like, you know what? That is a signal. That is a beacon. We're going to go beyond the sea. We got to go find these people. And Emmett's like, God damn it. I'll help you. I'll help you. So, of course, and at this point, the story kind of gets like splintered three ways. We got Reagan and Emmett's journey towards the island. Then we have Evelyn has realized that the wooden box is carrying her newborn child. The oxygen tank that they use to keep the baby alive is running low. So she knows that there was a pharmacy a couple miles back. I can get to the pharmacy, get me an oxygen tank or two, and run them back.
Also, her son's leg is definitely infected because...
Oh, it's going to be bad. So she's got to go get these health supplies, some first aid kit, these tanks. And then there's also the a third story of, you know, the young boy, Marcus, and the baby are still in this, I guess...
They're like in
tank?
They're like in a basement level of this steel mill. What seems almost like a furnace type.
Yeah, they're situation. In what seems to be maybe a furnace.
Because they have probably to close the door and like time how much air they have before they pass out.
So in they're in a bit of a hatch, the baby and Marcus. So, you know, running out of oxygen, I've got problems, aliens out in the world, everybody's got problems. So we'll save the biggest story for last. Basically, you know, Emmett's like, I think I gotta get out of the tank because I'm gonna run out of oxygen. Oh no, I can't leave because there's aliens out there. And then he locks himself unknowingly into the tank and he's running out of oxygen. So we got Evelyn. She's out there. She, you know, she has a couple close calls out there, but she manages to get that tank, not before she gets back to the foundry. And of course, there's a big ass alien there waiting for her. And she, you know, she got that thing on her. She got that thing on her. She got that blicky on her, the six shooter. And, you know, takes one of the oxygen tanks and kind of, you know, I guess distracts the alien before shooting the oxygen tank and like creating a giant fireball that doesn't really kill the alien.
They're basically indestructible.
manages to like, you know, offset it while she tries to get down into the basement section. But then she ends up destroying the basement section.
Right.
In order to get back into the tank, which she does, and manages to get the oxygen to her two sons. Cut to, we got, you know, Emmett and Reagan are out on their little adventures now. It's cute, it's fun. Psych, it's not fun. We're on a little marina right now. Things is not looking so good. It's nightfall. We're just fucking around out here, really, because we're just going to where the signal is. We're going to where the radio tower is. So they find themselves on a little marina, little boat marina, and what I don't know what it is he sees on the pier.
There's like there's like a flicker of motion behind him, and he turns around, and it's a little girl. Which is already like rule number one of horror movies: leave little white children alone. Don't go near them. Something bad's gonna happen to you. But he walks right up to her face.
Yes, right up to her face. Almost touches her before she gets the chance to touch on him. Psych! I got a net. Put you in a net.
No, she got a noose.
She's got a noose and a net, and it's all kind of like it's a noose net bell situation.
Yeah, they had some time to work on that.
They knew it's a sound trap. It was a sound trap. It was like, oh, if anybody comes here, we're gonna first get him with the little shining twin trick, and then we're gonna yoke him up with some bells, and then when he moves, some aliens gonna come and handle that. And also the marina man was looking really fucked, like he had been through some things.
Yeah, this movie turns into Deliverance real quick. I was like, okay,
my guy is sunburned and looking bad, but he's the king of the marina people, and I guess the law say that Emmett has to die here. So, you know, they got him with the bell situation, and you know, Reagan can't do anything. And also, the marina man has stolen her cochlear implant, so it's like, we ain't got no tools now. After a scuffle, you know, and it's like, you know, fuck it. Because at this point, I am wrapped in bells, so I might as well bring the alien here. They get real close, him and the marina man, we're like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck you up. Psych, take the noose off me, put it on you, and I'm gonna jump into the water after he says, what? Dive. Boom, dive. We remembered what do you call it?
The only ASL.
Chekhov's ASL speech. But guess what? Yeah, it's time to dive. He dives into the water. The alien comes and fucks up the marina people. And our little girl, Reagan, she manages to get into the water, too, and save Emmett. And you know, it's all good. And they manage.
Very interesting fact do we learn at this very moment about these aliens, Cameron?
Oh, my gosh. A movie I just watched like 2 hours ago. Please tell me.
These motherfuckers can't swim. Can't swim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're black. So the aliens Cut black. No. No. They yes, so they find out that the aliens can't swim. Yes. They like actually just can't even go in the water, Loki. They're like, "Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. I don't understand this."
Yeah.
Instant drown, instant like, you know, it's not looking good in the water. So that but they escape. They escape and they use one of the boats in the marina to, you know, sail around and sail towards Reagan's island. They literally do that in a jump cut, right? They're just like,
yeah, basically,
we cut to we on the island. At that point, so yes, we cut back. Evelyn has escaped. She has freed her children from the furnace that they were staying in. And at this point, I guess.
Well, the aliens,
we don't really like follow them anymore.
The
we
aliens really back. Aliens kind of got them. Like she's got the. Oxygen in there, but alien is still kind of lurking up
and they're low on oxygen again. They've been in there for a while.
They got enough, but it's kind of like you probably don't want to stay in there forever. there's a time limit at play.
There is a time limit. And so we got back to the island, and you know, Reagan and Emmett have found solace on the island. There's people there, mostly white people, but there's people on this island, a whole bunch of them. And you know, the only PLC person there is your boy Jaimin Hansu. He is man on island. He's like, yo, welcome to my island. And Reagan and Emmett are like, you know what, this is great. Thank you for having us here. You know, Emmett even has the time to find a little bit of, you know, his own little bit of island and look out to the sea and remember the days of, you know, not you know, fearing for his life all the time. And when he's, you know, on this beach, he walks a little too far up the beach. He sees, oh shit, the alien came up here on the boat with us too. They knew how to use boats. They just came on the same boat with us. But pretty much, they got here. They got to the island. And it's at that moment he's like, fuck it, we got to get out of here. Runs back to the campus and he's telling everybody, get the fuck, oh wait, they're already here. He's already here. He's killing people left and right, swooping up people, you know, killing the brown people first. He did it. Yeah. He did it because your boy, your boy was the first one on the island. We had a fellow Negro on the island who was like, you know what? It's time to get some water today. I'm a little thirsty. I'm going to bring this clanking and clattering pot up the well. Blang, blang, blang. And then we cut back to him. And he's the first one to get swiped.
There can only be one man on island.
There can only be one man on island.
Jaimin was
and
like,
his name is... Yeah, Jaimin was like, it's in my contract. I can be only man on island, right? There's no other Negroes on there. He's like, I was going to put some there, but I'll kill him. It's okay. I'll do that anyway. I was going to do it before you said anything. Now we did it. So the alien is swooping people up on the island. And man on island is like, nah, I got an idea. I'm going to get into my vintage like Corvette that I happen to just have here.
Yeah.
And Reagan's like, I'm going to run and get in the car, not knowing what your plan is. And of course, and it does that too because, you know, I don't know. Because I don't know.
Well, the three of them. They're going to the radio station because for some reason.
But he doesn't say that they're going to the radio station. He's like, getting in my nice ass car and going somewhere else.
Well, because Reagan, for whatever reason, her plan the whole time was to hook up her implant to the radio station and broadcast it. But she decides to have like some soup or something.
Yes.
She's getting a meal. So now they're riding to the radio station to enact this plan to kind of see if she can disrupt the aliens in a broader distance.
And Man on Island also has a plan with this. He's driving away. He's honking the horn really loud so that the alien follows them. So he's honking the horn, leading the alien away. The alien's on their car, basically. And they get to the radio station. They finally get to the radio station. And Man on Island, Jaimin, my guy, is like, for some reason, he's not going in like the recording booth. He's not going in like the safer section. He's like, you know what? my car, I need to go back. My family's there. Well, you didn't meet my family, so that's not important to you, the audience, but it is to me. Oh, I'm dead. I took you to where you needed to be to white people, and I died in the process. Great job, me. I kept everybody alive on the island until y'all got here and fucked it up.
He kept the important characters alive, Cam.
He kept the important characters alive and got them where they needed to go. Emmett manages. He's got the cochlear implant. He gives it to Reagan. Reagan goes inside the recording booth to find the microphone that's playing Beyond the Sea. Find the turntable that's playing Beyond the Sea. Finds the microphone, and she attaches. Bam! Sticks that cochlear implant on there, and that feedback goes crazy. That alien's like, holy shit, bro, I never heard this song in my life. This shit go crazy. Blam! To the face. Blam, blam, blam. Gone. Aliens, blam, dead. And it's at that moment that Marcus hears Reagan's transmission. Hears the feedback transition. Feedback transmission. And then movie kind of over.
Yeah, they turn it up and they kill the alien. They got there, and then they're like, "Part three coming soon."
So. Yeah, really, just the movie. We saw what needed to happen in this part. No further motives.
No,
just we got there. I put that implant on the microphone. That one alien is dead, and so is my black friend that I met. Yeah. And no news is good news, right?
So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, there you go. Quiet Place Part 2.
So, a lot of things to talk about.
A lot.
As a white savior podcast, you know, typically we're looking for the white savior in these films, but it feels like it's the reverse in this movie, in which they are actively leading all the black people to their demise one by
sudden,
one.
Sudden death. Doom.
Which is how white saviorism works. I was really just like, let's take the aliens to this island where they're eating the better food and living their best lives. And then let's also get him snatched up for no reason. Like, yeah. He was whispering. That seemed to be the rule in the first movie. Be quiet. That was kind of it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you got to be quiet and you can't be a brown person, which is new rule.
I just thought it was funny that black people were doing normal black people things that got them, or brown people were doing normal brown people things. Like, oh, I forgot to turn on my phone. I forgot to silence my phone. Damn. Damn, I died because of that. I was talking a little loud to my friend. Oh, damn, I died because of that. I was trying to save a white person who jumped behind my car. I died because of that.
I forgot my son.
Back home. And I died because of that.
I died because of that.
Y'all theory actually is starting to hold up.
Well, it's interesting because, like, the other people... It is kind of just, they're in the mass of people, you know, aliens are killing a lot of people. So it's not necessarily like, oh, they got the black person specifically, although a black cop does get very much so killed on camera.
He was in Hamilton, too. Like, ain't he safe?
I wish that would have been his last line. I was in Hamilton.
I bet, yo. $100,000. I can't wait till when we get to the prequel that happens in New York City, and then they're like performing Hamilton. He's like, "But I'm in Hamilton, don't kill me." And he's like, "No, nigga, like music. I heard the music.
You,
I'm gonna kill you."
I'm telling you, I was in the room when it happened. Stop! Stop!
But the first couple of people of color, I'm kind of like, all right. I mean, I guess, you know, everybody's getting it, so it doesn't seem to be particularly discriminatory. But then. John, I mean, several things with that scene. One, he puts his son in a closet, which I guess is the best they can do. They haven't really seemed to have conceived the possibility that maybe the aliens could somehow reach them just, you know, by chance. So, like, that they didn't really have a plan for that. Or I guess maybe this was the plan, that I drive away and they follow me, or I don't know. But so he puts his son away, and then he drives away. But then it dawns on him, like, literally in the moment, that, oh, wait, are they? It's almost like he has to go out. Are they still following us? Let me pull up the shed and check.
He don't get the chance to pull it up. They yank his ass by the legs.
But it's like he forgot everything that everybody else knew in that moment. It was like, you know, it wasn't like, oh man, let me get y'all inside and then I'll figure out how to get back to my car. And like, it was like, no, right now, I know we did all of this, but right now in this very moment, as you're talking to me, I've now realized that I need to open this up and just go. And before you can even finish the sentence, they just like scoop him under the door and kill him.
Crazy.
How are you going to be the man on island when you buckle under pressure that way?
Because they put you in charge. You were the man on island, mm-hmm. and you didn't mm-hmm. act like you was in charge of the island, bro. No.
Like Meg Thee Stallion, the man on island. What makes this ultra annoying is that, okay, Jordan, you're right. Everyone in the beginning, that first sequence, okay, those were people of circumstance. I totally get it. It was a high volume area. They weren't doing anything specific that made us really raise our eyebrows. I mean, I'm always like looking, but that's just because I'm personally brown. But what's the point, man? What's the point in giving Man on Island a character?
Then give him a name.
Because like he easily Well, you're not going to give him a name, but you are going to give him a character. He and Emmett have this moment together where they're, you know, it's like two old battered guys, you know, we out here surviving. I had to do what I had to do. I had to make my sacrifices and, you know, and this is what I have and this is what I plan on keeping. It's like, you know, these guys are both wise in the sense that they have used their knowledge to survive this far. And look at them, like they're both doing okay. Emmett's doing okay. He's surviving. He's got the hideout. It makes sense. You know, he's thinking about the sound and everything. Man on Island, he's got a whole community. You know, he's still got his son with him. So these guys are, they're, I hate that I'm going to say this, but like they're alphas, you know, like they're survivors. They are the type of people that are smart enough to think critically in this crazy situation and survive. So why explain that to us as a viewer if you're just going to have him make a stupid mistake down the line?
Like a wild, you know, stupid mistake too. Like,
so what was the point of letting us know that, oh, he's smart and he survives, just for him to make a stupid mistake? It would be one thing if he died by some kind of circumstance, mm-hmm. or, you know, anything, but that just didn't make sense.
No.
It didn't make sense at all. And I'm like, I really want to scream and cry racism because there was no thought. There was no thought, just, what do we do with this character now? I don't know. Just kill him, I guess.
Literally, because again, the aliens are supposed to be going off of Sam. So once they get inside, why is that alien like, there's that car I just lost. I put that black man by the door. It makes no fucking sense. I want to rewind though, because I have an issue with the black cop who dies up top. Mm. Because again, we've all had jobs. And when things pop off, how dedicated are you where you're going to be like, this white family is in danger. Let me step in front with this shotgun and see what it does to this otherworldly being.
Right.
And I was like, no, Mr. Krasinski, miss me already.
So. Well, it's already bad enough because he is the first person of color who has lines. So they actually give him lines to speak. And then I think mm-hmm. in a sense, we're supposed to connect him with the Abbotts, because I don't know why Lee knows him, if he's just the local cop or whatever.
Well, it's like an upstate town. I'm going to give it that, because upstate New York, they have these like small little hamlets where you probably do know everybody.
Right.
Even like your local black cop. Yeah.
Right. Right. So like they were like, all right, you know, we're going to establish this relationship between them. And then he's going to die.
Yeah, he won't die.
Protecting the family.
Yeah.
In a way that like, and not even like, oh man, like he was driving his car and like the aliens flipped it. Or like, oh man, like he was, you know, trying to run away with like a group of people he just happened to be in. No, he's like back to the car, like trying to do, I don't know what he's attempting to do, but he does just get ripped up like everybody else. So, you know, it is just kind of, I noticed that Jaime was the most egregious, but you know, you just kind of start to keep track, because in a movie like this, when there are really only white people, like whenever you see one of us, we're like, all right, you know, hey, you're gonna do something, right? Or like, you're gonna make a smart decision, or like,
but hey, I'm gonna add on to that, because movies like this where there are like a lot of white people in a town, You know what white people love to do in movies like this is all the people of authority are black. Chief of police is always black. Why? Why?
You know why.
I know, but it's like, that's one of the weirdest tropes that we haven't really like discussed on this podcast, but my guy has honestly taken the cake and I have to discuss it.
Yeah. Horror loves to be like, this is your black sheriff. This is your black security sheriff. Guard.
Exactly.
Even urban legend, Loretta Devine. Like, why is she getting more screen time? She's the security guard who's going to get stabbed, going to save you kids. Why?
I mean, LL Cool J is the cop in the Halloween sequels. Yep. Like,
The Conjuring 3. I don't remember that actor's name, but he walked out. I'm like, you're in trouble. You're a cop.
You should have. You are. Yes. It is what happens in not necessarily just horror movies, because we do it in horror movies specifically, like almost like 99% of the time.
Right.
But I would even say in your run-of-the-mill regular drama movie where you got, or even crime movie, there's always the person of authority or like the higher up is always a black person.
Who?
In a world when white people like run the fucking world, and whoever wrote whatever movie is doing some kind of like, you know, low-key reparations, like, but I made you the chief of police.
But then in the movie, the person doesn't really have any authority. Like, they are trying to tell the white main characters what to do, and they're like, I'm not listening to you. You don't know what's going on.
And then the black cop gets murked by an alien that can't see him.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying. Blackness, though. So.
where you from, Harlem? You from Baltimore? You from Baltimore? You from Detroit? Where you from?
Say water.
Say water real quick. say two.
I don't see color, but I hear it.
But I hear it. It's just, I kind of feel like what's going on in this movie is a little bit of that with, you know, there are people in the town. Hey, Emmett, that's a fine white man right there. That's a white man with, you know, he's doing well. But every point of authority in the town, even the mayor, Back to the Future. The mayor in Back to the Future was a boy who was working in a diner in the 50s, and then he became the corrupt Marion Barry mayor in the 80s. Like, we do this in every fucking movie. Actually, I'm sick of it. I hate it. I really hate this show. I hate this more than Magical Negro. I hate this more than White Savior. I hate this
because
it feels like a false apology.
I need you to write Black Cop the movie. Of just
yo, for real. I will
even in sitcoms, because remember New Girl, Winston had to be a cop, and I'm like, he's the cop. That's his whole character.
Winston's the cop who loves a cat.
Mm-hmm.
What? So you're already like softening him and making him the point of authority at the exact same time. He's like, he's the wacky black dude who loves a cat, but he also is like the cop who will fully arrest you.
Yep.
Right. He doesn't need a story till season 3 or 4. But no, he's a cop.
Confusion.
We should not accept this as fucking reparations.
We will not. This will not stand.
This will not stand. I know exactly what the fuck this is. That's a diversity hire.
It really is.
Put us there to try to keep you out of trouble. And you didn't think that we was going to catch on. That's a diversity hire, because, you know, one cop wasn't enough, so let's throw in Man on Island. Also, fun fact, y'all, did you know that Man on Island was first supposed to be Brian Tyree Henry?
I'm out. See?
It was supposed to be Paperboy. Paperboy was supposed to be Man on Island, and then I think it was scheduling conflicts because he went over to do Eternals. So he got that Marvel money.
I was trying to think of the timelines. I was like, was he like, man, I'm being Eternal.
For some reason, I saw that movie. It was like a team bonding thing at my job. But I'm glad he got that Marvel money.
Got that.
But then they subbed one great for another great, gave him a great monologue, and then killed him for no reason. Yeah. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Why?
Here's my other thing, because they were like, let's give the two black people the least to do in this movie. Well, the three black people, because the bucket dude.
Right.
We're trying to give them the least to do in this movie. We're missing the obvious thing. We could have made Emmett a black man, aside from that news situation, because we were doing a lot of that in the odds. And we
that would have been a little odd. You know what? It probably was a black character until he was like, and then I put him in a news. Oh, shit. no. You know what? Emmett is now a white man.
Because we got to keep the noose, right?
We keep the noose, right?
I just think that Krasinski sat down at his keyboard and was like, this story needs a white man. And my character's dead. Who can I insert? That's what it was. And I hate that because it also feels like you need a man to center this story, which again is about aliens who are here for sound. Are we also now saying something about gender? But also, had Emmett been a black man, that would have made sense that he was in survival mode. Because look at the rest of this town. It was a mostly white town. Where they all at? They did. And so it would have made sense that he would have been like, this is my food. This is my corner. I know y'all are messy. I'm not about it. I would have lived. And it also would have made a black person live at the end of the movie. That's how you solve that. By giving up one of your main roles, you feel need to go to white people.
I'm looking at IMDb right now, and Marcus Thompson Jr. is Bucket Man, listed as Island Person.
Island Person?
Yeah. There's also...
Is he Trini? Island Boy.
Yeah. Is he from Grenada?
There's also...
Sheree, you did not just... Sheree.
Island Boy?
Island Boy.
Imagine if it was one of the Island Boys.
Stop.
Just clinking that bucket. Hey, yo, I'm gonna get some water, bro.
Oh my god.
Well, then there's a white woman who is credited as Woman on Island. And so
were they married?
I don't know. I don't know, because nobody else is on Island. Everybody else is Person on Island or Island Person. But there is Woman on Island and then Man on Island.
I don't think that's fair, because Woman on Island didn't get a very inspiring monologue.
Woman on Island. I don't think that's fair. I don't even know if I could place Woman on Island. Like, I don't know.
Who the hell is this?
is Woman on Island like the woman who like put a towel around Reagan, was like, yeah,
possibly. Cup,
have cup, some soup, baby.
Have some soup. They're going to cut this line, so don't worry about it. Just eat the soup.
Yeah, well, and I think it's another one of these things. We'll get into a little bit of the behind the scenes here, because there were some criticisms, obviously, of this movie. Certain people had called, why did Emmett have to be white? Why couldn't he have been black? And I think that would have been a simple fix. I think it may have been more. It is interesting, because sometimes, you know, when they throw in a token black person, it oftentimes results in that person almost being like a creative player in a video game. It's like, we're just going to reskin whatever we had originally intended, and just now they're black, you know? So like, none of the blackness comes with them. We don't write them as a black person now, and don't like include any of their experiences. So again, like Emmett being maybe one of a handful of black people in this town, and now in the apocalypse, you know, trying to look around and be like, are these people really my friends? You know what I mean? Because Emmett, in the movie, Emmett has a whole speech about, you know, you don't know what it's like. People aren't good anymore. Everybody's bad. There's people by the marina trying to eat people. It's crazy. And so, like, he's clearly got a very cynical outlook on everything. You know, his family has died, and he's just like, everyone who's not in this bunker with me is like a wild killer person. You know, and I'm a full-fledged NRA member now, and like, anybody who gets close is gonna get got. But it would have been different if it was a black person, just kind of seeing like what that lens would have been like. But I also don't know if John Krasinski would have been like, let me write that in there.
Or of course not. They would not.
That character would be like, my days back in Harlem. Like, did you move up to Millbrook from Harlem? No, you didn't. Shut up. No, you didn't.
Like, he would have an alien snatch up Man on Island and Emmett. Is what happened. But at least like, we could have been like, we had something to do in the story. We weren't just like, here's a plate. Oh no, honk honk, I'm gonna go back and get killed real quick. How hard would it have been to have like the sheriff's name be Emmett, and the sheriff doesn't die for this family? He's like, shit's popping. No, I'm off the clock now.
Yeah,
he runs home to his family. That would have been a moment. We could have done so much, and we did so little. We were giving nothing.
It's interesting, because you would think Man on Island would have perhaps known to just like throw on the alarm on the car to have it make noise, so that the alien sticks around, and then he could then do whatever the hell he needed to do. Anyways.
I actually thought this was a good plan. Like, I thought it, no, like, I thought it was a good plan.
Make the horn inside to lead the alien away?
Yes, get the little ones, stuff them in the closet, tell them to shut the fuck up and do not do anything until I open this door to come and get you. I'm going to lead them all this way to the radio station. We're going to get the feedback thing going and then we could easily blow them up. That's a good plan. I think for being a very last minute thing, I think that's a pretty good fucking plan. What the fuck made you change your mind? Especially again, back to this monologue. Tell me there are no brown people in your writer's room without telling me that there are no brown people in your writer's room. Because what that seemed like to me was, okay, remember that commercial, the Super Bowl Pepsi commercial, and Kendall Jenner is like walking through the fucking riots.
You've referenced and this then many she times.
Hands, oh my God.
Hands the riot cop a Pepsi and it's like, oh, and racism is
solved.
Over.
It's solved.
They were in that marketing writing room for the ad and everyone was like, that's, yeah. They're going to love this. If we had one brother in that room, if we had one brown person, even if it was an Asian guy in that room, that shit would have never aired. If there was one brown person in this fucking writer's room, Mr. Krasinski, you would have saved yourself the entirety of, I don't even want to say Black Twitter, because it's the entirety of like the African diaspora Twitter shitting on you.
Yep.
Right. You really hurt us.
Simple stuff.
Simple.
Because it came across as, oh, I left a Black person alive. Alien. I'm a Tyrese.
It's so crazy. Everybody who gets, honestly, it's the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm noticing, like, everybody who got a death that was, like, paid attention to, yeah. Outside of Marina Man, who wasn't necessarily Black, he was more, like, brownish green. He was more, like, reddish green because of the blood and, like, the sun damage and the, I guess, kelp growing out of his skin. Or whatever was going on with his skin. You know, he was a person of color for sure. But what I'm saying is, like, everybody who got like a noted death was like a person of color.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of wild. Everybody else, like the white people who got like off, were like off in the distance, like trying to gather more wood, log woods or something like that. Like they were just like, oh, let me get over here. Oh, that's white. Ah, man.
Like even in the opening sequence, it's just like, you know, massive people get, you know, scooped up or like ran over or taken out, but like we don't zoom in on anyone in particular as they get like disemboweled, but like, you know, Jaimin, like, it's the more that you think about it, I mean, it's like we needed one more jump scare. What if he just gets, because I can imagine, you know, the scene where Jaimin's like, all right, and then we walk into there, they're like, wait a minute. Why don't you just take a couple steps back? No, but Man on Island goes with the no.
What? Yeah. What if it was the case?
We had a rewrite this morning, and we thought that.
yeah, we were thinking. I mean, your services. You no less days on set. You know, you're still getting paid the same amount. You know. Yeah. But I was thinking, we just take your legs.
Well, did you?
What if we just take your legs?
Do you guys know the Samuel Jackson Deep Blue Sea story? Where he...
I mean, I know that movie, but what's the story?
I love to tell it. I love to hear it.
He requested his character get killed off.
Oh, yes.
In the scene,
The old Jada Pinkett, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like it might have been the reverse in the situation where he...
he was told.
Yeah, somebody else was thinking.
The PA, too. Like, the PA gave him the new pages. Was like, hey, man. Jaimin, we just wanted to, you know, give these new pages. If you see anything wrong, don't come for me. I'm going to see you later. Right. Hey, what is this? What is this?
Yeah.
Where man on island, he dies. Why do I die?
This script is a lot shorter than it was yesterday.
I was doing very good. I thought I was doing great. Me and John got along very well yesterday. What happened?
Well, it's interesting because Black people weren't the only people to come for Krasinski after this. If you go to the New Yorker, of all places, Richard Brody, a film critic, had a couple of things to say about this movie. Well, he had a couple of things to say about The Quiet Place, the initial film. And I'm sure that it kind of, you know, applies to this as well. He says, "The noise of A Quiet Place is the whitest since the release of Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. As horror films go, it's the antithesis of Get Out, in so much as it's a symbolic realm is both apparently unconscious and conspicuously regressive. right?
That's fucking bars.
Yo, Richard Brody be low-key always got the wild take, but on his shit.
Yeah.
No lies detected.
He's spitting, though.
Yeah. If it was any wine, it'd be a Taylor Swift concert. And yet, we went into the sequel for Woomst.
Is he white?
He is an old white man. Yeah. He is about 60-70% beard.
That makes a lot of sense to me, because sometimes I just, you know, I turn my brain off when it's wine or white violence. It's different.
I mean,
he goes on to say,
we already so used to not seeing ourselves in these spaces anyway. So it's just like, it's just another day. I'm not thinking what this guy's thinking, but he's right, though.
He goes on to say, in effect, A Quiet Place is an oblivious, unselfconscious version of Clint Eastwood's recent movies such as 1517 to Paris, which bring the force of the idealistic elements of gun culture while dramatizing the tragic implications that inevitably shadow that idealism. The one sole avowed identity of the Abbott parents is their children's defenders. More obvious public identity is a white rural family. And the only other people in the film who are more vulnerable to the marauding creatures are all white as well. Right? And so, like, I mean, he goes on to kind of deconstruct the movie. Krasinski gets wind of this. He hears it. And his response was, I never saw it in that way or even thought of it until it was presented to me in that way. It wasn't about, you know, being silent or political at that time, and that had nothing to do with that. If anything, it was about, you know, going into the dark and taking a chance when all hope looked lost. You take, you know, you fight for what's most important to you. Again, my whole metaphor was solely about parenthood, right? So, you know, kind of put on the spot, and he was like, I don't know.
I don't see what you're saying.
Yeah, but let me just say,
calling the white nonsense.
But
yo, you're reading that shit, and me and Cam just like, I heard your eyes roll as soon as my eyes rolled.
But you know what it is. You know what it is. As soon as any white creative is called out for, you know, things that kind of seem obvious, especially to that POC audience who has experienced life one certain way, you see it. It's very obvious. It's more than obvious. It's kind of like on its face and almost feels like the message you meant to tell me.
Yeah.
Now, all those creators love to be caught off guard by this when they're told about kind of simple shit, like especially in this movie where it's like, you know, hey, all the people like you murdered, like in like close-ups, yeah, we're all black and brown people. And all of a sudden, after spending months and months on preparation, watching this movie over and over in the edit, maybe he had a day or two of reshoots where he could have easily been like, hey, man, I'm going to just substitute this guy out for a white guy. Like, all kinds of things could have been done, but yet it was still, wow, I didn't even notice that.
Well, the thing about it
that's crazy.
That was his response to A Quiet Place, the original. So he has ingested this information and then goes on to make this movie.
Right. So he's like, I heard your notes. I'm going to make it worse. he went to the Lena Dunham School of, oh no, what do you mean black people are in New York? This is information.
Let me find Donald Glover for 2 days and fly him out from California when there are fucking black people right down the block from me. Oh, and make him the worst black character like anyone's ever seen for like 2 days. And then I dump him the next episode.
And she was like, he was really mad at me. I didn't understand why he was upset to be there. And I was like, have you met you, Lena? Have you met you?
Wow. Like, we all did that to her. I remember we all, as black people, like, said it collectively to her in her face. Have you met you? Yeah. We noticed you were horrible and you doubled down.
But we were like, this is New York for how many seasons? No black people. No black people in New York.
And Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
Well, I imagine that John took the notes and then was like, all right, you know, I'm going to cast black guy from Hamilton. I'm going to cast Jaimin Hansu. I'm going to cast this part. Oh, yeah. You know, and then he finished the edit. He was like, oh, John, you did it again.
Oh, could you imagine? He like literally was like, oh, no. That's the end on A Quiet Place. Oh, shit. I did it again. Oh, damn. Oh, man. They're going to hate me. Oh, man.
He really hit him with the, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
He really did, though. He really did.
That's why he had to be like, you know what? Hands off on the next movie. And it's a prequel, so the black people are still alive.
Yeah.
No, can we do that?
I don't want to give him credit for that. I want to say his publicist grabbed his ass by the throat, or actually grabbed his shoulders, shook him down. He's like, are you fucking crazy? Are you insane? Criminally insane? This is how you fix your career, because you are one step away from getting deported from the country. via Black Twitter.
He's like, no. And the next movie, Morgan Freeman is going to be the president. It's going to be great.
They did that, by the way, John. Smack, smack. We did that already. They didn't love it.
The studio's watching, the audience watch this movie, and they were just like, Lupita, we're going to do something else. We're going to figure it out. Are you free next year? Okay. What can we do with Lupita?
Girl, we need you.
She was like,
we fucked up. Lupita. Call Lupita. We need you immediately. Please report.
His publicist was like, "You better call in the big guns because this is damage control.
Here's
this
a list.
Real damage control.
Here's a list of every Black Oscar winner. It's not long, so exactly. So just run down that list. You got like 8 people to call.
Yeah.
Call all of them, motherfuckers.
Halle Berry and Denzel said no. That's 6. Like,
what's Michelle Obama doing?
She's like, I said I'd go high, not that high. Yeah. Please, is my number.
it's gonna work though. It's gonna work.
Let's talk about it. Work. What do you guys think now that you know different people are in place and you know seemingly people have voiced their displeasure with how that went down? Because it's a tricky situation, right? Obviously, Jaimin isn't going to get killed, right? We see Man on Island survives, so he's got to make it into the next one. Lupita, if she doesn't die, where is she at, right? Like, what happened to her? Like, are you going to try to go back and make it? Oh, no, she was on the island the whole time. She just was in the other room. You didn't see her, but she was
she's
there.
She's a woman on island. Yeah.
She was there.
I was watching this one today and I was thinking like, you know what they're going to do. You know exactly what they're going to do. She's going to be in one of them little houses on the encampment and she's going to be watching one of the scenes from the movie. She's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's happening out there. I'm going to stay in here and stay as quiet as possible. Oh, I might even have to save them 2 little boys across the way. Like she's going to have been there. You mark my words. Let's record where this is recorded. Let's listen back to it in 2 years when A Quiet Place 3 comes out, or even at the end of this prequel that's going to come out, and just wait for her to be at that encampment.
Well, the issue
inside
is,
one of the houses.
The issue is though that in the trailers it looks like there are about 100 times as many aliens as there's been in the previous movies. So, what do you think the odds are that Black people survive this film?
Oh shit!
I, because this franchise loves to be like, this is a chapter. We're not going to give anything real closure. I kind of wonder if this is them being like, let's have a sneaky side franchise where Black people get to thrive. And then our main franchise, we'll keep it all white.
And you know, yeah.
It's like the Walking Dead spinoffs where it's just like, all right, y'all can be over here.
Right? Right? It's like, we're done with this neighborhood. Bye. We might come back for a Whole Foods later on in life, though. Just so say it.
Stop.
But I do.
The aliens didn't go into the Harlem Whole Foods. They were like, nah. Too expensive in there. Why would I go in there?
I do wonder, though. I mean, like, in New York, you know, Zero and Cam, like, Black people, these aliens land, like, what are the Haitians
it's
doing?
It's a wrap.
The Jamaicans doing?
You said it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. No. Just, I mean, nothing to do with being Black. But it has everything to do with being in New York. Like, I think about this shit. I think about this often because I love me some zombies. You can't see my zombies, but I got zombies everywhere in this room. And I've thought about this the day that the zombies come or the day that the death angels come from Quiet Place. It's a wrap. I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to lock my doors. I am going to pick out like 16 movies that I'm going to binge. I'm going to get really drunk. You know, I'm going to smoke something nice. And I'm going to just kill myself. Or I'm, you know, maybe I'll just decide to OD that day, you know, on the finest Molly that I have. Because there's no way. I'm in Brooklyn. Am I supposed to get all the way up there? Past Queens, past Harlem, past the Bronx? I'm not making it through the Bronx.
That's crazy. That's 100%. I thought about that. I was like, where are we supposed to go from Brooklyn? Because there's like no way that way. That's Long Island.
No.
And then if you go into the city, it's going to be a horror movie.
But the Death Angels can't swim. So if you can just get to some water.
Oh, is this, are we going to Staten Island? Is that what's happening?
Oh,
hell. Okay,
then this is the next problem. Okay, so what happens? Death Angels come into New York. I pick up Cam. I'm like, yo, bro, we got to go. We got to go to Staten Island, like, now. Wait. Now we have to go to Staten Island and deal with actual racism because everyone that lives in Staten Island is a cop.
So 1,000%. All the NYPD is out there, and they're going to be, like, trying to arrest us still.
Man and woman on island. And you know what happens after that.
This is a Quiet Place 4. This is happening. Yes, this is the franchise.
It's been Staten Island the whole time.
two niggas in Brooklyn who had no business surviving the end of the world with, like, the last weed that they got running to Staten Island.
You know, Cam, you and Zero roll up to Staten Island, and they just look out and they're like,
who are these niggas?
As if they don't do that now.
Well, I think let's talk a little bit about the reception for this movie, because people really liked this movie, you know what I mean? Like, it was I think maybe even more well received than the original. I want to look up both of the scores, but it's gotten a lot of praise, so we're going to go around and look at what people had to say about A Quiet Place Part 2, and try to guess what the scores it has on all the different aggregate review sites. So Sheree, if you want to start on IMDb right now, what do you think A Quiet Place Part 2 has out of 10?
Oh, if people like it, out of 10, I'm going to say 7.
Okay. Zero?
I'm also going to go 7. I was going to say 6. It's 7.
Cam?
I saw this one earlier. I can't play the IMDb game today.
Well, I'm sorry. It's a 7.2, so very close.
Y'all were close.
All right.
You said how many people liked it, but also this is America.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a fairly entertaining movie, you know?
It was. I love me some Cillian Murphy. That man is fine as hell. You know, I have my very obvious problem, and that's going to be always going to be the first thing that I talk about.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody brings up this movie, because it's important and because it's a very good learning opportunity. But did I have fun watching this one? Yeah, I had fun. It was entertaining. I love Millicent Simmons. I liked that the story was about her until I had my ass itching. But yeah.
Let's go over to Rotten Tomatoes. Currently, out of 100%, what do you think it has?
Knowing critics, they probably gave it like 83.
I'm going to go 69.
Cam?
I think I'm going to say 70 on this one.
91%.
What?
Critics, 92% audience.
I feel betrayed.
Okay, real quick, can you go to the first Quiet Place and tell us the Rotten Tomato score for that?
96% for the first one. The critic score, 83% audience score.
Holding up.
I agree with that. I don't agree with part two.
I bet you they played that it's PG-13 horror, which they love to do when it's all white.
Yeah.
When it's something like Uma with Sandra Oh, it's got problems. But when it's an all white cast, it's PG-13, y'all. Mm. Come on, it's for the children.
The kids.
Well, the kids are to see black men dying because of aliens.
You know. Just normalize them. Normalize them early. It's all good. PG-13 stands for something sad. I don't
know. Pray for that guy.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say, please, God.
Both of them great.
Well, if we go over to our absolute favorite, Amazon.com, what do you think out of 5 stars The Quiet Place Part 2 currently has?
4.
I'm going to go 4.3.
Cam?
4.8. Can we go like the full 5?
4.7. Almost 5 stars.
Knew they loved this one. Knew they loved this.
And I think,
you know, Brenda's like, the black people died. I got a hairdresser. Thanks, Amazon.
Felt confirmed.
Well, I think the thing that's consistent throughout all of these reviews, though, is that I think what we're talking about went right over everyone's head, you know. Like, I don't think a lot of reviewers or people necessarily picked up on it. They're just like, oh, because there's things, again, the movie does a lot of really great, interesting things. The sound design is great, creature design is great, you know, and like it's not a movie to necessarily take super seriously. Like there's stuff in it that's like just fun horror kind of stuff that I think people were ready to get into. And again, like you said, when it came out, like pandemic times, people were just like, I need something, give me something. So like that definitely contributed to it. But I do think that the more that you talk to, especially people of color, as time has gone on, they've been like, you know, I don't know if that holds up in the same way that, you know, the first one holds up. Because the first one is also like just very much like a quiet, like very confined, you know, horror film. That's just like it is only like three or four people, you know, and it is supposed to be like that's where the tension is coming from. This is only these few people isolated with these monsters around. But once you start opening it up and you're like, oh yeah, what is everybody else doing? It's like, oh, getting killed. Interesting. Well, let's go over to our Caucasity ranking scale. We've got three levels of Caucasity that we can rank this movie on. We're going to start with the first level, which is Shorts in the Winter, which is, you know, this is the time. We're not out of the winter yet. Even though, you know, temperature's kind of going up and down, but you know, up in New York, it snowed, you know, recently again.
Twice.
And, you know, you look out the window and there's Jeremy going to the bodega in his, you know, Tommy Bahamas. And he's got the full goose down on, you know, so like part of his body is cold, but the lower half, I guess, is still just toughing it out. And so, you know, this isn't hurting us. You know, we just have questions. We're curious. Why did you make certain decisions? But generally not offensive. Cam, what's the second level?
Second level Caucasity is this movie is touching my hair. And that's the point where, you know, it's an offense now. Hey, you back the fuck up. You know, they're probably a knuckle deep already in your coiffed hair that you probably worked really hard on before they answer or ask the question, how'd you get it like that? And that's when you got to be like, you know, hey, I don't have to tell you nothing about me. You know, I don't got to do nothing for you. But that's when it's a problem for us. Not quite a huge problem. You know, I ain't got to break his hand. I just got to be like, hey, put it back over there.
The third level, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time on this one because there's a lot happening, and we need to do a separate full investigation. But
yeah, I was about to say we'd say it on three, but it's too long and convoluted and messed up to say at the same time.
The third level of Caucasity for this week is a sentence I never thought I would say, but the woman formerly known as Rachel Dolezal got fired from her Arizona County school job for her OnlyFans account, which got found out, and people had problems with it. Now, first of all, I have not been keeping up with this woman at all. So when I saw that she had changed her name to Nkechi Diallo. That was, before the OnlyFans part, that popped out to me where I said, okay, we've, not only have we not learned lessons, not only are we clearly leaning into things, but like, you don't have any friends. Like, nobody likes you.
No one likes you enough to tell you, hey, stop.
Somebody would have said, this is a terrible idea. Even if you're attempting to change your name in order to not be Rachel Dolezal anymore and maybe get gainful employment. Nkechi Diallo?
But she had to do that in order to become the president of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP.
But nobody looked at that name, looked at the photo that accompanied it, and said, wait a minute.
Hold up.
Nobody.
Because of the way Twitter does the headlines now, all you saw was a teacher was fired for having an OnlyFans page. And so you're like, that's messed up. Teachers got to make money. And you click it and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Send her to hell.
Oh, no. It's Nkechi Diallo, formerly known as Rachel Dolezal, my worst enemy. Oh, my God.
The only thing I could think in my mind was,
I know that ain't who I think it is.
Because I thought she was gone.
Like that. I thought we got rid of her. I thought we did it. I thought we shamed her into the hole. Like she would just never come out.
It's been years.
I really was like, okay, I put that out of my brain. The Rachel Dolezal chapter is now closed. We can move on. Some other fuck shit won't come along the way. You know, Trump about to get maybe reelected, you know, praise it, knock on wood that that don't happen. But, you know, like, there's other fuck shit mm-hmm. coming down the pipe that I got to be worried about. Not the return of fucking Rachel Dolezal.
But not even the return of, like, I was about to say, this exact combination of things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If she had just come out and been like, yo, I'm back. Like, the only thing that would have made it worse like,
goodbye to
her. Rachel Dolezal's OnlyFans account featuring Sean King gets found out.
Stop.
That's the only way that I would have been like, maybe the internet was a mistake. We need to IT crowd this and just turn it off.
The worst part was that the Washington news channel that like aired this story used a picture from her OnlyFans in order to like tell the news story, and like they obviously had to blur 2/3 of it out, but you can obviously tell from the 1/3 that's remaining what's going on in that 2/3. And it's like,
my question is, how do you report this? Because obviously in doing so, you have exposed yourself as having access to Rachel Dolezal's OnlyFans. Not OnlyFans, generally, specifically, you clicked on
that. Yeah, you clicked. Yeah. Two-factor verification. Any good journalist knows that you gotta either have seen it or have the source and the secondary source. You clicked it, you looked to make sure that Nkechi was Nkechi.
Right. And so, I'm obviously not gonna do a ton of research into this, but it seems as if the OnlyFans is Rachel Dolezal. Like, it's not
Rachel Dolezal, at your girl Rachel.
I don't know what it is, but it seems
is it at the homie?
Because somebody was like updating, you know, her response to everything, and like she was promoting the OnlyFans on her Instagram, but the link said Rachel Dolezal. So I think she was doing it, which again, in my mind, this is a sex positive show, this is a body positive show, you know what I mean? Do what you gotta do. I'm a teacher, I know, you know, you gotta get that money, however, get it how you live, right? Not you, though, because people know who you are, right?
Right, you are public figure. She, in this moment, she is Man on Island, and everybody else in the room, everybody else can have OnlyFans, and I'm the alien coming in to be like, not you.
You're the alien, but you're only allergic to, like, if they show you the OnlyFans, you're like, oh god, and then your face starts doing the, like,
like, if she was doing like Cameo or like other things where it's like, I guess you could probably get away with that, but like as a teacher, you know, you're obviously putting things at risk if you're putting stuff like this on the internet with your name and face connected to it. But if you're you also public figure Rachel Dolezal, who everybody knows, and in the story, this basically took me out, because you're reading through the story where she's recounting everything. I did not know this was the language that she was using, but she referred to her parents as biologically white.
Shut it down.
Shut it down. Just like, just rebuke it. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God.
That's... Huh?
Biologically white.
My parents are biologically white, but I identify.
We got to study this for science. Like, how is your brain working?
I feel like the meme of the white lady, and then there's just like math. Work out.
Just the confusion look like the, they're biologically white, but I am Nkechi. There's no possible way that I was born to David and Bonnie. There's no way.
I'm upset that she took whatever that is that she's doing to OnlyFans with no shame. But again, white women. She was like, I've elevated blackface. It's black body now. And also you can see it on OnlyFans for $5 a month. And I'm just like, if you don't set your ass down.
Oh no, actually, yeah, I'm in it right now. It's 10 bucks a month.
10? Wait, 10?
Yes. But if you subscribe in a bundle, okay, 3 months, you get 5% off.
5%. She don't even know how to do a deal. That's how you know she's not even black. Mm-mm. You don't even know that's not a deal. That's not no deal.
Mm-mm. But I'm just.
She's not teaching math.
You know, it's one thing if, like, you, if she was doing this and she was just making bank, I guess, off of this. And so it was like she found it financially viable. Because, look, scammer's going to scam. Right. You know what I mean? And you look at people have scammed for way worse. You know, like you look at all of the people who have killed black people, started up GoFundMes and made millions of dollars. And like, you know, so like she should go away generally. Yeah. But like if she was just like, yo, I'm going to do this and people are going to pay me for it, I guess go off. But like you got a job. You went through the whole thing of changing your name to get a job, and then you do this. And like we said, people had already forgotten about you. So, like, nobody was even really checking for you.
It was over.
And now you're back. So, like, now you got to get a new name to be somebody else.
That's how I know that she is biologically and culturally white.
Oh, my God.
But this is the level. The third level is you know exactly what you're doing. She knows exactly what she's doing. This is not a mistake. She has made choices in her life. Again, Cam, you can illuminate this because I'm not going to look up recent pictures of her. Is she darker than she was before? Is there like is she continuing to go down that path?
She doing like the freckles. She got like freckles. She does the thing where like, you know, like there's light skinned black people who do it. But then there's also like white people who don't want to be associated as white. Who like, I got a ton of freckles going on here and I'm going to leave it be. So you make your own choice without me correcting.
Choose your own adventure. Yeah.
You know what?
Choose your own adventure.
It's that Cherokee, you know. It's that Cherokee in me.
Stop. That's what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. Why your hair do that? Oh, that's because my grandfather was Native. My grandfather was Blackfoot. Don't do that. Like that's what it is, though. That's what it is. She's playing the game of like you don't quite know.
We've seen the family,
and then leave it at that.
We know it's pretty clear. They're biologically white. Cameron.
Do we have evidence? Do we have evidence of Rachel Dolezal saying "nigga"? I just need to know this.
I feel like
that's in the $15 tier.
Yeah, yo, it's like $5. You get the whole thing. $10. You get videos, and for an extra $5, I'll say "nigga" in the video.
Oh my god.
Okay, well.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. I don't even want to dwell on this any longer, but come on. Google her name, and the first question you get is, how did Rachel Dolezal get her hair like that? I hate the universe I live in. When I pass and go on to the next level, me and, you know, St. Peter or whoever discuss what happened down here, most of my questions are going to be about Rachel Dolezal. I was like, why? How you let that happen? How you let that happen, bro? I get the famine and atrocity and like, you know, people are evil. But Rachel Dolezal, how we let that one slip through? And he's going to be like, I don't know, man. We were just fucking around up here, man. We were just messing around. We were saying, what? I got drunk. I drank a little too much Henny one night. You know, I just want to see what happened. And I'm sorry.
Well, given those three levels, Sheree and Zira, what do you think The Quiet Place Part 2 gets out of the three levels of caucasity?
I think John Krasinski knew what he was doing. He was like, you said you wanted black people. Oh no, I watched a lot of 84 movies and I'm going to ignore all the conversations that have happened in the last 25 years. There they go. They're dead. Man on Island, you're welcome. I really do think that him and his privilege were like, I did the good work. They're going to thank me. He went home. And now he's got enemies and he can't.
He got ops. He got ops out in the street.
If I catch him in Minnesota, that's going down.
Hey there, Bucko. Hey there, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Remember that movie that you put out a couple years ago? I just want to talk about it real quick.
Let me get you here, buddy.
The Quiet Place Part 2 is touching my hand without permission. is touching my hair without permission, because I, you know, I can't claim that this is like malicious racism. This is a very, very heavy amount of prejudice, however, and it proves to me that y'all do not have any people of color in your writer's room, just in front of the camera. So I don't think that it's completely ignorant. Actually, no, that's not what I meant to say. It is completely ignorant. I don't think that it is malicious. I truly believe that John and his writing team, after the criticism that they got from the first movie, which clearly didn't hit as tough as it needed to hit. He really needed a sucker punch, not just an article written. But I really do confidently think that he finished this movie and the team was like, we did it, Joe. We did it. They're going to love this. And now they see what happens when you don't have brown people behind the camera, because that's very important. And I hope they feel really stupid about it and ask next time before you reach into somebody's hair and start messing shit around. Maybe you should ask somebody, you know, maybe you should hire some more brown people and let's avoid disasters like this, because it's just stupid. It's like you're making very rudimentary, stupid mistakes that could be fixed so fucking easy if you just put a little bit more effort into claiming the diversity that everybody wants to claim by hiring more Black people on both sides of the camera. Then this would never have happened. Or that Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial. Or like a shit ton of other things.
Yeah.
Cam?
I agree. I think it's like a, 2.3. I don't want to get into full 2.5. I don't think it's malicious either. But, you know, you knew. And also, like, you know, I like John Krasinski as an actor, and I like him as like a, you know, almost a celebrity a little bit. You know, he seems like a good guy. He's married to Emily Blunt. You know, they seem like nice white people, whatever. But at the same time, they feel like those oblivious white people that are just like not tuned in, but want to seem deeply tuned in.
Yes.
John Krasinski's got like a little, I remember during the pandemic, he had that like good news thing. Like it was like a YouTube video where it was like, I know there's so much bad news in the world. I'm going to like be at my house and like do a little YouTube video called just the good news. And I see that he wants to be like, you know, positive white man, like putting good out there on behalf of white people, I guess. I don't know, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. That type of white person that's like, there's so much bad going on in the world. I want to be a contributor to good. And right. I feel like he wants to be one of those people. But to be oblivious is not doing the work. And I think he wants to be known as a person who's doing the work. So you can't fuck up on A Quiet Place 3. You definitely can't fuck up on this little prequel joint with Lupita. We're not killing Lupita, okay? Okay, she's an Oscar winner. We're not killing Lupita. That would
be the end of the franchise.
That would be like you seriously fucked up.
You know, yeah.
I'm just stuck on the irony of him being like, good news, and then giving us a movie of bad news.
Good news.
Black people are still dying.
Are still dying at crazy rates. Even when they're the sheriff in town. I don't know what's going on. They gotta go like, first. You knew, bro.
Yeah, I mean, after I finished the movie, we got a new drop, because I was just like, ay, 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 ay. Something went wrong. I'm not quite sure if this was the intent when you went into it. I also have to go, you know what I mean? Like, I think obviously there could have been worse. Like, quick sidebar, is Man on Island worse than Minivan and Old? Or is that both? Or both of those?
Wait. Mid-sized sedan.
Mid-sized sedan and Old.
Yes, I see your looks of confusion. There is a character in Old named Mid-sized Sedan, and he is a rapper.
Why am I acting so? Oh, yeah. His character was very pointless. I love that movie though. I have it on Blu-ray. I'm looking at it right now.
Shout out that movie. It's not that bad.
It's fun. I like it. It's fun.
But just in terms of the Black characters that you get, it's like Man on Island, Mid-sized Sedan. Just kind of like, guys, we gotta work on the names just a little bit.
Jerome, at least give him a Jerome. Goddamn.
No. I'd rather mid-sized sedan than Jerome.
What if that was mid-sized sedan's real name was Jerome? Then look at you now.
Jerome Brown.
It's always last name Brown.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, Williams. Now Jenkins.
Do you think they could have asked Brian, they could have used his name, and he left the role? Like, do you think that was like, Brian Tyree Henry, that sounds pretty black. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Legal. And Legal's like, no, Man on Island will work.
You got to stick with Man on Island.
Yeah.
Look, we already got his chair ready that says Man on Island for the set, so we can't change it now.
Just give me the Tyree part. Please.
He was like, nah, I'm going to go over to Marvel and let them with their prejudice because
I was about to say, I'm going to let them screw it up. Okay. I'm going to go over here and get with this big screw up over here.
At least the bag was probably a bit more appealing. So yeah. I can't fault him for that.
Yeah. And they made him gay in that movie.
Yeah. Goodness. Well, he's gay in real life, I think. So for him, it was like, oh, I'm playing.
Let me get it. Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
That's it. Marvel. Like, see, I told you.
Marvel likes to do it the other way around. Marvel likes to be like, Marvel doesn't make mistakes like that because they have one dude in there. And he's like, he's the dude that goes like, no. In the black community, that is bad. Like, he's got a big old book. He literally got a big old book full of epithets and tropes. And he's like, yes, in the black community, see on page 37, we are not allowed to help the white person with magical properties because that is the magical Negro trope right here.
Right. He's got to be like, Black Panther cannot be played by Matt Damon. For all the reasons, including
for all of these reasons, C index.
What if we called it White Panther? Is that no?
No. It's more inclusive because we have a white person in Wakanda. Then no, it's not. Shut it down. New team meeting.
Yeah, shut it down. 2 months. We're gonna rewrite this movie. We're gonna come back.
Well, I want to thank you guys so much for jumping on and joining us. And yes. Prior to coming on, I was listening to your Black History Month episode where you're recommending some movies for people to watch. And if we can on the way out, either movies from that list that you had, or if there's just any other movies that you like to shout out, let people know where they can find the podcast, where they can find you guys, and what movies you'd recommend people to watch.
Not me opening up my letterbox. Like, I've never seen a movie. I've never seen a movie before. We have been a Blurdy Massacre podcast. My name is Zero Gravity, and I'm always paired with the lovely and sadistic Sheree the Slayer. We release episodes every Tuesday. Every other episode, we have fun guests on the pod for season 3. You can find us online at Blurdy Massacre on social media, or you can listen to our episodes wherever you get your podcast fix. We out there being very inappropriate, so come join us. Oh, and as for a movie that you should watch, write that part. Now I'm trying to think of a movie that, like, no one dies. Mm. None of us die. Actually, no, you just did a whole article on that where no black men die. Give me one of those.
I found 8 of those. Nice. One of which was Words Within. We get to be a lead. We're a cop, so that trope is still present. But, he's alive at the end.
Okay. All right.
Claps,
love
claps,
to see
claps.
That. Right? There were 7 other movies on this thing, and I am just like, what was it?
I'm gonna shout out a movie that we didn't put on the list, but I believe it disappeared from streaming, so if we could make some noise on social media for that one. It's called Sweetheart, and it was on Netflix previously, but this is a hell of a creature feature, with a brown lead, a woman lead. And she kind of got like a haircut like me. So I was like, okay, press play. She got the fade. Let's see what's going on. But it's a wonderful creature feature and also tugs at the strings. You know, many women can relate to this movie, themes of being believed and taken seriously as a woman, as a black woman even further. And also like The Quiet Place. Actually, I'm going to say this. The creature in Sweetheart definitely gives the creatures in A Quiet Place a run for their fucking money.
All right.
And it is a damn good time. So if you like to see black girls fighting and surviving, check out Sweetheart. Make some noise on social media so we could get that one back on streaming because we need it very much.
Okay.
Also, Eve's by you. Technically, one person died, but he deserved it.
Nice, nice. Well, yeah. I always think back to, Scream 2, where I'm just like, the beginning, couple of minutes,
you're
just like, yeah, all right. And then the second he goes into the bathroom, it's like, all right, well, we had a good run of 7 minutes.
Wait, two was that was
Jada. Two is the one that opens with Jada and Omar.
Yeah.
Okay, and well, she Haley. Asked for that. She asked for that.
But Hallie was going to be one of the murderers. And because of leaks, they're like, got to kill another black person. And damn. I'm like, there were other options, Uncle Wes. And he's like, I gave you 2 moves with black people. Please hush. And I'm like, I will, but I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm gonna be quiet, but I'm gonna say it later.
Yeah, right. It's the Debo effect. Yeah,
I'm gonna be talking again.
Yeah. But that was also the first one where a black person did live because the cameraman was like, "No,
yeah,
smart." And left, and it didn't happen again until 5 and 6 with Chad.
Yeah. Well, Cam, do you have anything to recommend?
Dang, now I gotta open my letterbox.
I was gonna say I don't want to recommend Madam Web, but I do. I'm very curious about it. I'm a bad movie connoisseur, and this is like one of those that is on the level of, is it bad and I'm gonna have a good time? Because I had a friend who told me I walked out, you know, like I couldn't. And like, and he had movie pass, so he didn't even pay for it, and he left. That's telling me maybe I should wait on this one.
I asked a homegirl 2 days ago. She went to go see it, and I asked her, how was it? Because, you know, I'm on Twitter. I see people ripping it. And she told me that it's bad, but it's not go to the theater bad. You know, like Morbius was
right.
Like, let's go and see, you know, like, let's go and experience. Or even like Brooklyn Horror Fest did a free screening of Pet Sematary Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my friend, it has to be free. Me and my friend Gigi Murakami, she's also in Brooklyn. She's an amazing black horror manga artist. Mm-hmm. I looked at her and I was like, girl, it's free. Pam Grier is there. Like, you want to just go and laugh. So that was like, let's go outside and pull up to the theater bad.
Yeah.
But my homegirl told me that Madam Web, it's bad, but it's not pull up to the theater bad.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
It's giving Tubi energy.
Yeah. Well, it's giving Tubi energy, but it's also like in that way where you look at it and you look at the $80 million. Cause like with a Tubi movie, it's like, I see $20. Why this is bad. You know what I mean? Like, I see what you're working with, and I understand how we got here. But it's just also like $80 million, and where'd the money go? Was this a money laundering scheme? Like, are we?
It looks like she didn't get paid. It looks like she's mad because she like she's didn't talking receive like she money. Didn't get,
well, the alleged story is that she thought this was going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and showed up and was like, oh, this is, we just over here. Spider-Man doesn't even, he's not even in here. Okay.
Like, Toby's not going to show up at all. Like, Tom Holland's not going to just like thwip out of the, nothing. No,
we couldn't afford him. We spent all the budget on Crafty.
Will Zendaya be at the premiere? No.
Zendaya will be nowhere near you. We will actually make sure you don't meet Zendaya.
Restraining order.
Is Tom Hardy going to show up or no? No, he's busy.
Not even Venom. It's just some y'all.
Of the extras from the Avengers?
Not even them. They actually signed an NDA. They don't even want to see you.
Jared Leto will be there, though. Sorry.
About Jared Leto will be there every day. He's an executive producer on the project.
He might also perform. He's got the band activities for this event. What?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I have any recommendations.
That's fine.
I recently watched, what's the last movie I watched? Let's see. Oh, You know what? The last movie I watched featured a black person. It was John Wick Chapter 2. Go see rapper Common featured in John Wick Chapter 2. He, actually, that might be my favorite, like one of my three favorite fights in the John Wick series is the one with Common where they can't, they're in public areas, but they can't like hit public people. They can't hit pedestrians because like, no. But they're in like a club and they both have like bulletproof suits on and they're trying to like pew pew across the like dance floor. It's like makes zero sense and it makes less sense the Common is there. So you know what? Just light up the spliff. Have a great time.
Yep.
Your boy Common's there.
I was on the plane watching that, like Nicole Kidman. I was like, cinema.
We are here. We come here for this.
Bulletproof suits for everybody.
Well, I will just recommend, go watch Blackula again if you haven't seen it in a while.
Hell yeah.
It's a movie that, again, be prepared for certain problematic elements to pop up. But it does have the first ever, if I'm correct, the first ever like dolly shot where, or the what is it? The Steadicam first Steadicam shot, because they basically like it had just been kind of invented and they were testing it out, and he was like, "Yo, let me get that just for I think he was like just for the day, you know, like even just for like an hour or something." And like quickly
get my hands on that.
Yeah, got the camera and like they just did it. It's the scene where the nurse vampire is like running like at you.
Oh, right? Yes. Yes.
In the hospital, yeah.
Yes, I remember this. That's hilarious. Yeah. If that's history and that's the first Steadicam shot.
That's black people. I love it. Black people are like, "Yo, can I hold that?"
Industrious. That's right. Oh, that's crazy. That was crazy. Can I hold that?
Yeah.
Just like an hour. I don't even need it that. Like I don't even need it that long.
I'll bring it right back.
That's us. That would be our history.
Okay, tell everybody where they can find you on the internet. Anything you want to tell people that you got going on?
Sure. Yeah, check me out on Twitter. His mama called him Twitter. I'ma call him Twitter. Find me there at The Blipster 1138. I am on IG at the same. Hey, no free ads, but shout out if you've seen me in a Harry's Razors commercial recently. Your boy got the bag a long time ago. That money spent. Don't worry about that. But we still out here. We cooking. We got a couple things, some irons in the fire. So it's going to be a cool summer, y'all.
Nice. And I'm Jordan Clark. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JRSosa18, JRSosa18. Comic stuff is happening. I will tell you about it one day. I keep teasing it. And it is, I do make comics. They do come out.
He makes more comics than I make stuff. So don't worry, y'all. There's stuff coming.
People got to tell me I can say yes. So if you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter at @white_pod. You can also write to us at whitepeoplewon'tsaveyoupod@gmail.com. We'll be back in two more weeks with more Caucasity. Peace.
Peace.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.
You can't save us.
We don't want to be saved.